This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. As we do in these second hours, replaying some of our more listened to and liked segments from earlier in the week, daily editorials and company updates. Starting the second hour off with a new series that I am producing called Talk Stocks. I feature Quentin Henny, geologist and investor, to focus on some of the exploration plays jurisdiction-wise. This interview did take part on Monday. This is just excerpts of a 30-minute call that I had with Quentin, so be sure to check out that posting on our website, podcast, or YouTube channel. I hope you all enjoy. Look, we're going to be focusing on companies that have cash and have discoveries. So let's start off jurisdiction-wise in the Yukon, in the Tombstone Gold Belt. You've talked to a lot of these companies. You've talked about a lot of these companies. I featured a number of them on the show. We can talk Snowline. We can talk Banyan that just came out with a 7 million ounce resource. Rackla or Sitka, those are a bit earlier stage. But Sitka does have a resource of over 1 million ounces as well. Quentin, what are you focused on in the Tombstone Gold Belt with any of these companies?
Yeah, Corey, look, I guess the first thing I would say, and I've got to say this because I am an investor and I also work with Crescat Capital and we invest in a lot of these junior companies. I would just, you know, bring that to everyone's attention that I, you know, whatever I say, you know, my somewhat biased given that I am an investor or Crescat's an investor. So, you know, you got to do your own due diligence and things like that. But look, I am a big fan of the Yukon. Okay. I'm a super big fan of the idea that we need a new gold belt, a new gold province or district upon which we can kind of, you know, set the table for this next gold cycle. And I think the Yukon is it. Okay, there's a large number of these reduced intrusions spanning the Tintina Belt. Many of them are in the Yukon, not all of them. There's actually some examples over into Alaska. But I really see these as being, you know, the potential candidates that can generate tier one assets, tier one being assets that can produce, you know, hundreds of thousands of ounces of gold per year on a sustainable basis for a decade or decades of mine life. And that's what we have to see in the gold mining space. There's so many big companies now, so many big and intermediate mining gold mining companies that, you know, are just seeing this continue. Depletion of resources in their portfolio and really depletion of high quality, you know, high margin mines, that we got to see a rejuvenation in the kind of the base, you know, that we have for the mines that can generate profits and build, you know, rebuild these gold mining companies into profitable companies once more. Now the Yukon is you know, it is remote. Some places are remote, and people tend to be critical of that. But the way I look at it is this. You know, a lot of the gold belts started out this way. Many, many gold belts started out this way. And, you know, one of the litmus tests I have for investing in the gold space is, can you build mines there? And look, the Yukon actually has been a place where mines get built. Okay, you look at the Eagle deposit, you know, Victoria Gold's Eagle deposit. That's an example of a large-scale mine that's been built in recent times. Okay, so, yeah, I do think that all of these companies you mentioned there, if they make discovery, have a pretty good chance of advancing their projects into production. All right, so, you know, Snowline, obviously, it is remote, but it's a very high-grade, reduced-intrusive deposit. Easily justifies the capital that's going to be needed to build a road in there. As well as build the project. You know, I think with what's taking shape right now, low bar 10 million ounces, but it could be much bigger. It could be 15, in my view. I do think that it's one of the best gold deposits I've ever seen, because there's just so homogeneous, it is so well behaved, that basically when you start mining that deposit, you're going to be in ore from day one, and quite frankly, pretty good ore. There's a very large high grade core to it that's readily accessible right at surface. I think it's going to make a fantastic mine. But then you have Banyan. Banyan has been drilling and advancing their project, which is not all that far from Victoria, you know, bear in mind, okay, it's not far away, in a very similar tenor, you know, very similar style of mineralization. And then you have other companies like Rackla, much earlier stage, but they have multiple reduced intrusive targets. You've got Onyx Gold, again, several reduced intrusive targets. You have Sitka. Sitka is one that I am very intrigued with. It's a bit southwest, or the target, the RC project is the main target, and that's southwest of the Eagle area, so southwest of Victoria, at least they're mine. But Sitka is drilling right now and has demonstrated they might have a higher grade component to the system at depth. Very anxious to see what happens there. And then you can extend the terrain into Alaska. I think even Tectonic I would throw into the overall Tentina story, just because it is a reduced intrusive style system, albeit in western Alaska. And they had some strong results late last year. So these are the deposits we need to see to catalyze the new gold cycle and the rebirth of the gold mining industry.
All right, let's switch focus then into Finland. A lot more news has come out of Finland as Eagle has, in a way, took a renewed interest in Finland. They already run a major mine in Finland, but they've been a bit more active on the investment front. A number of companies we can talk about: Firefox Gold, Orion Resources, Rupert Resources, which has really been a leader in the country, at least recently, over the last few years in terms of exploration. What do you think about the whole Finland play?
You know, it's a place where I think Agnico and maybe B2 in particular were kind of setting up some battle lines, but they've now kind of reached an armistice and the dynamics have changed. Okay, I think if you wind back the clock maybe a year ago, Agnico was kind of, you know, scratching their chin trying to figure out if they were fully committed to the Lapland, the central Lapland, you know, that we're talking about here in Finland. And, you know, even Kittila, I think there was a sense that maybe it had seen its better years and that maybe it was time to kind of move on. But then there was something happened late last year. I don't know exactly what, but, you know, all of a sudden you saw Agnico just to do a 180. They became highly interested in other companies and projects in the central Lapland and started being very aggressive about approaching those companies. So, you know, Firefox Gold, for example, struck a deal. Not only did they get a placement, but they've got an earn-in now with Agnico on a very large block of ground. So Agnico seems to now be recommitting to the belt. I think that's very important. You're also seeing B2 kind of pull away a bit. They've decided to exit the joint venture they have with Orion. And, you know, Rupert is taking that position, which is really, really interesting. Okay, so that's a dynamic. I can't think of a junior company taking the position of a major company like that before, but it is telling that B2 is thinking more and more about their strategy. I think they're thinking, you know, moving back to Canada is a better use of their money. All right, so they're, from what I hear, they're spending a lot on Goose Lake and such, and, you know, they're going to commit to developing mines in Canada. Maybe that has an impact over in the Yukon, too. Who knows? Maybe B2 decides to become more aggressive there. But anyway, in the Lapland, it seems that B2 is pulling away. But then that leaves a situation where you have Agnico and then Rupert, which is a pre-production story, a likely target for Agnico. Okay, so that's very interesting. You know, is anybody else going to stick their hand up and jump in there? I'd be surprised, but you never know. Maybe there's competition for Rupert. In the meantime, Rupert taking on this joint venture, heck, that's really darned interesting. It's also interesting because, as many people know, if you dig into the details, Orion has some critical ground just to the south or southwest of the Rupert's Ikkari deposit that, quite frankly, is necessary ground for the layback of the pit. Okay, so there's going to have to be a reconciliation between those two companies to move Akari forward, in my view. Lots of dynamics there. I think it's a good place to invest now because I can see Mika was the owner of that camp.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans, nonprofits, and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Replaying a segment from Thursday with Craig Hemke. A little bit of cheerleading for the precious metals sector, especially gold that closed the day weak. month and quarter at all-time highs. We also get a little bit into silver. Hope you all enjoy this segment. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Going to be focusing on gold's continued breakout, now over 2,200 at all-time daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly highs, as well as silver. What we're waiting for in silver and what we can look out for in that commitment of traders report coming tomorrow. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Craig, first things first, gold continuing to power higher. Even on the spot market, gold is over 2,200. Futures market also just rolled over to the June contract. That's at 2,240 and around there as we're recording this. It's been a continued move higher for gold. Give us a bit of history here, Craig, in terms of when the last time gold was at daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly highs.
Well, yeah, what a fun day to talk, Corey. We call that a superfecta, right? Hit all four on the same day. It's hard to do, right? Because only four times a year do you get a chance for a new quarterly high. And it's been nice to make some here as of late. It's important, those long-term charts. We can all get excited and trade off the daily charts or even the hourly charts. But the big money, the institutional money, hedge funds, the private accounts, all that kind of stuff, they're looking at the long-term charts, you know, and seeing the long-term breakouts on the monthly or quarterly chart, because it's much more significant to get that kind of action, you know, kind of pick up on the general, you know, kind of secular, if you want to call it, bull trend. You and I have discussed since last year, gold finally breaking out of that range between, you know, call it 1,700 and 2,000. And once it would, that generally when, you know, you'd add maybe 10%, to your old all, you know, above your old all-time high is in a rush of enthusiasm and speculator funds and headlines and everything else. And I think that's where we're headed now. We've long discussed 2,300 as your first stopping point, and it certainly looks like we're headed there. In terms of history, like I said, you don't get these superfectas very often. The only other time I can recall was on the last day of the year, New Year's Eve of 2010. We'd had a pretty good year, 2010, and gold finished up that day. I'm going to look and see if I've got the old post pulled up. I don't know, 1,400 or so? 1,420 is where the February 11 front month gold contract closed. Well, of course, everybody remembers, you know, that long-term enthusiasm kicked in 2011 besides, you know, other fundamental factors. And what, we go to 1920? So what's that? $500 is 30-some-odd percent, 35% the last time we had a superfecta. I'd take 35%. I know I'd take half that from here in the short term course. So it's a fun day, and it's important to see gold close the way it did.
Oh, it absolutely is. But going back to 2010, too, gold had been on the rise outside of that 2008 correction that saw everything. Gold's been rising now since kind of late 2022 as well. And with this breakout, yeah, it does bring in higher highs and a continued breakout, which is just nice to see. Craig, how do you balance out this whole concept of Eastern demand continuing to support and drive price, but now the notion that the Western demand is starting to pick up with some inflows into GLD, with some just higher volume that we have seen? It's still relatively low volume, but slightly higher volume that we have seen in some of the stocks, in some of more what the Western investing public would look at.
You know, what comes to mind when you mention that, Corey, is the old Rick Rule saying about, you know, higher prices are the cure for higher prices, you know, that sort of thing. Or maybe it's the other way around, you know, that sometimes higher prices will help to squelch demand. You know, as people pull back, you know, one thing where we've really seen that, even Reuters was finally writing it about today, you know, high prices in India for gold tend to shift their demand towards silver, and India is importing a tremendous amount of silver. I mean, record amounts. I can't remember what the number was for February, but it was extraordinary. But in this case, it presents a bit of a conundrum for, again, when we say bullion banks, they're the ones that primarily the operation is in London. That's where the physical market is for the precious metals. And, you know, and they trade and hedge and everything else in New York, but for the West, the physical market's in London, and that's where the bit of the jam is, because you can do studies of what the LBMA has in their vaults. The vast majority of it is Bank of England gold. So, and then they got ETF gold. So as gold, physical gold demand continues, it eventually does have a pretty solid impact on price. And in the West, you know, we're a little different from our fellow human beings in the East. They see low prices and they get excited. Where in the West, you know, everybody wants to chase the next hot thing and the high prices drive excitement. And so that's where I think people are finally kind of waking up and getting excited about owning some gold. And that just kind of fuels that tight physical situation and exacerbates the problem for those banks trying to deliver metal.
What about silver, though? Because silver has knocked its head on that 26 range a number of times here, and that's been pretty stiff resistance. If it can get just up to 26.50, that'll be a 52-week high, which is significant. But broadly, again, silver's traded in a pretty flat range for not just a year, but a couple years now. What are you watching for in silver? We talk a lot about the COT reports for silver. Any changes there or broadly market-wise for silver?
Well, again, for everybody's got to remember, the futures tail wags the spot dog, particularly in silver. And when the futures market is kind of based off supply-demand, just like anything else. And so when there is demand for the futures contract, as we saw, you know, from the end of February through the middle of this month, you get this big rally. But that can only take you so far because it's such a tiny market, overlooked and unloved. There's just not that many participants. There's not that many hedge funds. There's not that many family accounts. There's not that many institutions that are interested in owning silver yet at this point. Again, remember, too, we've been waiting for this breakout in gold, and everybody sees it now. You know, when we blasted through back on, what was it, Friday, March the 1st, we had that huge rally that closed gold up just below 2,100. And everybody saw the breakout. And what happened next? You got a $100 rally the next week as everybody crowded in. Well, silver hasn't had that breakout yet. I mean, silver's got to get above 28. You know, anybody can pull up a weekly chart and see this. When silver gets above 28, it will get that same rush of excitement and new love that gold is seeing. And it'll go to, the chart would suggest 34, 35, 36, probably pretty easily. But first, it's got to get above 28. But then, as you said, Corey, it's got to get above 26 before it can ever get above 28. And that has been a level. Silver has been up to 26 six times. But it is very important in something like silver that you understand the supply-demand dynamics of that derivative, that futures contract, so that you don't end up, you know, getting frustrated and, you know, and say, why isn't silver going higher? Well, it will. It's just not in a position to do it just yet.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
U.S. USA News Update. President Biden telling reporters he plans on visiting the port of Baltimore where the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed next week. Large cranes on barges being brought in by the U.S. Navy. The goal is to remove all of the heavy metal from the collapsed bridge and get the area open as soon as possible. Here is Maryland Governor Democrat Wes Moore.
With a salvage operation this complex, and frankly with a salvage operation this unprecedented, you need to plan for every single moment, and every time you take action to move a piece of wreckage, you understand that that requires you to reassess the situation.
Former President Trump is hoping to raise more money than President Biden did in New York at a huge upcoming fundraiser in Palm Beach on April 6th. The Biden campaign raising a record $25 million at the event at Radio City Music Hall. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
Come
here
on, and... lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the group?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Third segment of the second hour. Getting into some of the company updates, starting with Vizsla Silver, a new acquisition of a silver district between Panuco and San Dimas. This call happened on Thursday, right when the news broke. We also get into some recent exploration results and talk about the royalty spin-out. Some updates that happened there just recently, too. So be sure to listen to this full interview. Here are some highlights from the interview. Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. This is a, I think, fairly important update out of Vizsla Silver. The new acquisition, acquiring a new district in Mexico, the Lagara Metatas District. I am chatting with Mike Connor, president and CEO of Vizsla Silver. Vizsla Silver is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VZLA and under on the NYSE under that same symbol, VZLA. Mike, let's talk about this new district that Vizsla Silver is acquiring. It's right in between Panuco and San Dimas. I'll post the location map from the news release that was just released today, March 28th. Mike, talk to us about the consolidation of this area. How did it come together? What drew you to this new district for the company?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, we're thrilled about this acquisition. It's really an incredible opportunity for us to add some incredible land in probably the hottest silver district in the world right now, which is our Panuco Descendant Mass Corridor in Sinaloa, what we're calling the Sinaloa Silver Belt. So this is really great. It's another project very similar to Panuco that we've acquired from private Mexican hands. And the history is very similar here. It dates back to the Spanish. You know, this is a district that's seen small scale but high grade mining over many centuries, but has never been explored, never been systematically explored, never been explored really at all using modern techniques. So it bears, you know, many striking similarities to what we like at the Panuco District. It has, you know, very similar north-northwest trending structures like we see with Napoleon. And similar to Napoleon, there's a 2.5 kilometer structure that strikes along the property here that's, a number of mine workings on it that have evidence of great high-grade historic mines. So we're connecting this trend here between San Dimas, which is one of the 9 billion ounce silver districts in Mexico, one of the 14 in the world, and our project, which is the world's largest undeveloped high-grade silver resource.
So, Mike, can you give us any more information on some of that historic production that has happened at this district?
Well, some of the old reports, and there's not a lot of reports. This is kind of a district that, you know, has been forgotten by time. But, there's some local reports of Spanish mining there. There's old Spanish mines that have been lost and never been found there that have been reported on. But some of the mining that was occurring about 100 years ago in the early 1900s really was mining about kilo material, kilo plus material, and actually milling and smelting on site there. So, you know, we know that there's high grade material there in terms of run of mill. You know, historically would have been a lot higher grade in probably the multiples of kilos of silver equivalent. But I think, you know, what's exciting here is that, you know, it's not something that we're going to shift our attention to and start drilling tomorrow. But this offers us a pipeline of development projects as we move the Panuco District into production. And we've always taken a long view of our role here in the silver industry and our role in Sinaloa. And we think Sinaloa is one of the best places on earth to build, a multi-asset silver producer.
Talk to us about the acquisition costs then. There's a little bit of cash involved as well as shares, overall costs. How much of a company market cap is this costing Visa?
So this is right around 2.5% of our market cap, which is really quite incredible. It's about a quarter of what it cost us to acquire the Panuco and Copala projects originally. So, you know, I think we're paying a reasonable price here for something that I think will be worth multiple times as we continue to unlock value here. So it's about $3 million in cash and about 5 million shares of Vizsla. So really, an approachable sum here when you think about what we paid to acquire the Copala and Panuco district.
Now, when it comes to corporate strategy, you hinted at it a little bit there. As you move forward with Panuco to bring that into production, you then have this new district for exploration. But what does that look like, say, through the balance of this year into 2025?
You know, our vision and our goal hasn't changed at all along this path here, and it's to de-risk and develop the Panuco project in our center of mass in the west, while trying to find other centers of mass across our project at the Panuco Copala district. But, you know, we came across this, we were introduced to this district, we'd heard, you know, rumors about it for many years, and we're introduced to this by some people that are connected to our company in, in Mexico that, you know are familiar with what we're doing here and thought we'd be the best people to take this project forward here. So, you know, we knew that when we saw it, we had to be the owners of this project moving forward. We didn't want any other competitors to own this project in what we consider our backyard. And we believe that this also allows us now to have a real pipeline of projects that could very well be, 2 billion ounce districts in this area of Mexico, which, you know, when you're onto a big discovery, when you're onto major metal discovery like this, and you know it's, you know, connected and aligned to one of the largest silver equivalent producers in the world, and it bears many striking resemblances to it, you know, you have to acquire a project like this. So we did that. You know, it doesn't change our overall strategy of driving the Panuco district into production as fast as possible, you know, doing it, you know, the right way, but as fast as possible, and then getting into cash flow. At that point, we can look at, you know, the development at the La Garra Metates district.
What does this mean for exploration at Panuco then? I understand you're moving that into production, but you were telling us there was still a lot of exploration potential on that district as well. So does that slow down at Panuco?
No. If anything, it doesn't actually change our goals at Panuco at all. We're continuing now. Actually, we've had some exciting developments in how we're exploring for those new centers of mass. And, you know, we've actually started to work with a couple of high technology providers to give us more targeting, to give us an opportunity to look at where these centers of mass may be actually located without spending as much dollars on drilling. So we're expecting to spend the second half of the year working with our drill rig to make discoveries, to make new discoveries. But right now, the next few months here at Vizsla are all about de-risking the project ahead of the PEA.
Let's talk about some of that recent news then. March 20th, we had some further results from Copala and the splays at the Copala area. 27 holes were released, a mix of infill and holes drilled to expand mineralization. What did you learn from those? How are they further de-risking this major portion of this project at Copala?
Well, you know, Copala is certainly the backbone of the resource here, and it's kind of a freak of nature. And actually, just as an aside, we have seen some similarities to what we have at Copala in terms of a flatline, high-grade structure at that new district, Lagar Metate's district as well. So it's possible that we may see these types of structures continue north and into that property, which is exciting. But, you know, the drilling that we've seen here just shows that this project and the Copala vein on this project has a lot of broad, thick, and continuous mineralization, and that our infill drilling is doing exactly what we want it to. It's de-risking the project and showing that continuity across these structures.
So what about that PEA then? Time frame, again, just reiterate to everybody what they can expect and, well, what they should be watching for.
So we're still planning mid-year here. That hasn't changed. And, you know, that's basically going to set the stage for us to drive the project forward into production and through the various stages that we need to go. But, you know, some of the work that we're doing at the PEA, well, most of it actually has to do with mine planning and how important that is. So, you know, that's why this infill drilling is increasingly important with what we're doing here at the project and with the PEA, and that's going to inform basically the next steps when it comes to, you know, our underground bulk testing that we're planning later this year.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to DanPilla.com to order your copy. That's DanPilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to DanPilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of the second hour of the weekend show. I am replaying a company that I get so many emails and questions about, Graphene Manufacturing Group. This interview simply was focused on answering all of your questions. We talk battery development, we talk thermal XR and U.S. approvals, as well as path to revenue and lubricants also on the revenue front. We also talk about the company's cash position and cash maintenance, some of the recent news out on that aspect. All of this was from a Thursday interview. Here is the replay. Thanks again for tuning in. I hope you all have a great long weekend. Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, getting an update from Graphene Manufacturing Group. I'm going to be addressing a lot of the questions that you all have sent in on the company's three main divisions here, the battery development division, thermal XR, as well as the lubricant division. We're also going to talk about general corporate strategy when it comes to cash maintenance. I'm chatting with Craig Nickel, founder and CEO of Graphene Manufacturing Group, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GMG and on the OTCQX under the symbol GMGMF. Now, Craig, we're going to run a webinar here in the future, but I've had a lot of questions come in on the back of our last interview that happened in the middle of March. Let's start right into the battery division questions. The first question about the pouch cell manufacturing process. Last interview, you mentioned that you're using commercial materials in the pouch cells. Can you elaborate on this, please?
Hey, great to be back on, Corey. Yeah, I certainly can. So the materials that we use are obviously have to be cost effective, and they obviously have to do the job. So our scientists are doing a lot of work on making sure they do the job. But of course, they're also now checking in. We're now bringing our business people in to look at the costs and a modeling of operating costs and how that looks. And of course, you know, until we lock down the actual battery, you can't finalize it, but it does look good. It looks promising, which we knew it would, because it's such a low material type battery. So now what we're doing is basically taking off the shelf separator, which is the piece of plastic between a piece of material between the cathode and the anode, and then the foil, which is off the shelf. Now, We do take, you know, some graphene. We've been testing graphene from around the world. We do look at composites. We look at different carbons to mix in with ours, because it's all about carbon for our battery. And we do different types of layering as well, all different ways of improving and managing our battery performance. So, yes, we do use off-the-shelf materials. We use different types of carbons, but our mainstay is our graphene, and it's, from what we've seen, the best outcome of all the graphenes. And, you know, I'd happily share you that we've got other graphenes out there, but we've tested every graphene we can get our hands on, and our graphene is absolutely still the best for our battery. And so, yeah, when I talk about commercial materials, it's getting all those different materials off the shelf, and then you need to know that they're available to be able to scale, and when you build a plant, that you can go forward with them and get more as you need.
So have you locked down what commercial materials you need, or are you still testing different, I guess, mixes of them and even where you source them?
Oh, I'd suggest to you that, you know, we would probably be trying, you know, 20 or so different materials of some right across the board at any one time. So no, I wouldn't say we've locked them down. We certainly know some suppliers that we're keen to work with more than others, you know, because it's all about consistency, and it's all about getting good quality products when you need them, and then having the price, you know, relative to performance and all that. So, you know, I think that'll come as we start to finalize the final cells that we'll send out for final testing. And then, you know, as over time, it will continue to be managed over the next, you know, however long years we continue to optimize the battery, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, as we keep optimizing it and we have put it into production at different plants around the world. Well, that's planned anyway. And then, you know, each one might have a slightly different material, which then gets a different outcome, because it's all about the nanomaterials with batteries, and we need to have regular, good quality supply at low cost. Now, we've got a very low number of materials in our battery, our graphene, foil, separator, and aluminium chloride, basically, to name the big materials. So there's not many, but, you know, they all have to be pretty much spot on. And, you know, we're always engaging as many suppliers we can to test and try out as many in this space we can.
Okay. Thank you, Craig, for addressing that. Another question regarding more energy and power density of these batteries when it comes to putting them in an actual device. We get some data out of the coin cells, but that might not carry over to the pouch cells. The question also is asking about general graphene electrode thickness. So overall, when you're looking at energy and power density data, how can you go about comparing coin cells to pouch cells, and how might those vary?
Yeah, so your coin cells are a really good indicator of the potential for different electrochemistry systems to work. When you go to pouch cell, you've got an area which might be 100 times bigger or 1,000 times bigger, multiple layers, but 100 times could be just one layer. So you start to see other reactions that you hadn't seen before in the coin cell. And yes, you do have a thicker cathode for us than in the coin cell, and that can also have different outcomes. They're not always in one direction. You just find different outcomes because you see the chemistry at a grander scale. Typically, that happens with all chemistries. It happens with lithium ion chemistries and all different types. You do your coin cells. You know, I have a good authority that the largest battery companies in the world still do coin cells to do quick testing, and enables you to understand where it's at so you can go forward with some really clear understanding that things work. But your pouch cells, where it starts to really come together and you understand how it all comes in one way. And so that's that space we're obviously at. You know, we're at what's called battery technology readiness level 4, which means we're optimizing the electrochemistry. So we're literally optimizing how much graphene, how much electrolyte, and how much anode. So graphene's on the cathode, and then you're optimizing the weights and the types and the surface chemistry, the surface morphology. There's all the things in there that you could optimize. It all has an impact, and we're testing those. And we have one of the best in the business helping us, Mr. Bob Galyon, our director of GMG, who's, you know, he was the chief technology officer for CATL, seriously well endowed, experienced battery master. He was in charge of batteries for General Motors as well prior to that. So I think there's probably only one or two other people in the world who might be competing with his knowledge of batteries. He meets with our team every 2 weeks. He was just here for a whole week, only a couple of weeks ago. Very knowledgeable. He wants to be a part of the next generation type batteries, and he sees this is truly, genuinely one of them, which is really exciting. You know, an aluminium ion battery, really fast charging, very safe, long lasting. He sees that as a really, really big thing for mankind, for society, not just for us. So that's why he wants to help, and that's why he's the director of the company.
So, Craig, when will we get some more battery data results, either from coin cells or the pouch cells?
Yeah, we'd look to do publication of the pouch cells after we've done the testing, which we aim to do by the end of June. So we've said that we're going to hit that, you know, the final testing of our pouch cells by the end of June, probably for about the last year. So, you know, that's still our target. It's the time we've got to have everything ready and finalized for our customers as well. And so we have a number of companies keen to test, and that's what they're keen to do. So, you know, we're pushing for that. And, you know, the battery team is definitely very focused on that. And that'll mean optimizing all the different areas of the battery to a point where we can send it out, get it tested, and then hopefully have that out in the press, validated by third parties. Because your batteries are certainly very multidimensional. And if anybody knows enough about batteries, you can certainly say stuff which, you know, has different elements of it which need to be taken into account. So we really want to get this validated externally. And so we've got the next 3 months we're going to push to make that happen.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.